Fantastic. All right, let's get straight into it. About 4 weeks ago, my family and I, we got COVID. Nothing new. Everyone gets it. And basically, we had 2 weeks of isolation, 2 weeks of just the seven of us in our house, longing for good coffee, longing for other people to connect again. I remember the day we got out, I had meetings back to back the day we got it. We planned it. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, literally one after the other, catching up on 2 weeks worth of meetings. And I went to my 9 o'clock, had my coffee. Oh, it was so good. People walking around the shopping centers. And I sat down with this mature leader, this mature Christian who had stopped coming to church. And so I sat down with them and thought, I'm going to stand with them. I'm going to encourage them. You know, just going to just see what's going on. Maybe I can help reconnect them, you know, back into the life of the church. And as I was having coffee and full of joy, I was so excited. I haven't seen people, like apart from my family, haven't seen people and coffee. It's like a big excursion, right? And for a sanguine, it's up here. It's like people, you know, it was so good. That first moment. And as I was sitting there and saying, how you going, mate? And he had this sour face on. He says, before you start, I just want to let you know I'm not coming to your church anymore. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't expect that, you know. He goes, let me tell you why, because your church is not prophetic enough. You know, I'm a worshiper and prophetic worship is so important to me, and I'm going to find a church that has real prophetic worship. I haven't found it in the last 6 months, but I'm going to find that church that is so passionate about prophetic worship. And he started to list all this stuff that, you know, was wrong with our beautiful church. I'll tell you the funniest thing he said. The funniest thing he said is, we're leaving the church because you use a click track in your music team. And I've searched the scriptures. A click track is where the drummer has tick, 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 you know, to help him keep the beat. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Is that right, Pastor Ken? I don't know. I wouldn't have a clue. But I'm thinking that's what a click track is, right? And I searched the scriptures, he said, and there's nowhere in the Bible where you will find a click track. And what's more, God is the one who sets the seasons and the times. And I will not have man set time and seasons and limit the worship. Oh, hallelujah. How many have had one of those meetings in the last 3 months? Come on, be honest. Come on, be honest. I tell you what, it's an interesting time to be a pastor. I've written down top five reasons why people have left our church in the last 3 months. Would you like to hear? All right, listen, this is a group therapy session. Let's laugh and cry together. All right, I'll show you my wounds if you show me your wounds, right? Here's one. One woman recently left our church because she said the vaccinated people in our church were shedding and causing her headaches, and that I wasn't doing enough to stop the people from getting vaccinated. I wanted to tell her, I'll tell you who's causing headaches, love. No, because I am extremely pastoral and I love the people, according to Christy. I love them very much. Another person, I just want you to know you're normal here, I hope, anyway, unless this is just my church. Another person left our church because they felt I wasn't personally doing enough to convince Premier Mark McGowan to lift all the mandates. And I thought, hey, actually, that's actually quite complimentary that you think I can call Marky Mark. Hey, mate, I don't like this new one. Oh, sorry, Pastor Joel, I'll change that. Right, another one left our church. Another one stopped coming, sorry, because they thought we were following the mandate too strictly, whereas others left because they thought we were following the mandate too loosely. Right? It's just been one of those fun seasons being a pastor. So after I sat down, after 2 weeks of being alone with my family in a coffee shop, so excited to see someone, give somebody a hug, this guy just went on and on and on and literally just deflated my sanguine balloon. I couldn't believe it. That was in 1 hour. 1 hour, my soul. But here's the thing. At 10 a.m., my next appointment turned up. He was an 18-year-old young man who had given his heart to Jesus in our church just 4 weeks before that. And he started going, hey, Pastor Joel, I want to grow. I want you to tell me what I need to do to change. Listen, I'm going to turn 18 very soon, and I've got a party planned. But the issue is all my friends, I haven't got any other Christian friends. All my friends are expecting drugs and alcohol, and even my own family will be stoned. Do I have a party or do I not have a party? I like this girl. Should I follow this girl? What do you think I should do about this? And he's asking me all these questions. And in that moment, the Spirit of God, you know how when you sense the Spirit of God come upon you and the flow, the prophetic flow starts to come out and you get to share wisdom and they're wanting more and more. And within an hour, my soul was nourished and I counted it a privilege to be a minister of God. In 2 hours. In 2 hours, right? But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He challenged me, in fact. He said, what type of people are you going to fill your days with? What kind of appointments, people, are you going to fill your day? The ones that's going to steal your strength, the one that's going to deflate your soul, the one that's going to drain your passion? Or are you going to be deliberate? Are you going to be deliberate about filling your day, spending your time, building your calendar around those people that are hungry, that are thirsty, that are longing to grow? And there was this huge challenge in my heart. And I just want you to know, I'm not asking anyone here to avoid the pain full meeting. Some of you going, board meeting, nah, that doesn't bless my soul. You know, rebuking somebody, nah, teaching somebody, nah, I don't like that. I'm just going to go and, no, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, sometimes as pastors and leaders, we can just fill our schedules with meeting after meeting of soul-destroying, sapping, life-sucking human beings. And we've actually got to be really, really careful. Because you sometimes think, well, I'm doing it for the kingdom. But does God want you doing that? Does he want you to fill your life, your heart, your time with that sort of stuff all the time? I just want to, sometimes it just cripples you. When really it's supposed to actually be a light burden that we're supposed to carry. Isn't that true? It reminded me of a scripture in John chapter 4, verse 31. To 34, the disciples had left Jesus to go get lunch, right? And Jesus is sitting with a Samaritan woman. And when the disciples came back, this is what happened. The Bible records this. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And you got to understand, these are all young men. They're always thinking with their stomachs. Rabbi's got a secret stash. He hasn't been sharing his secret stash. Where, you know, and they're basically starting to ask, could someone have brought him food? And Jesus says, boys, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. They were talking about the physical food that nourishes, but Jesus said, if you do according to his will, if you do according to what he has called you to, if you do according to what you are anointed to, if you do according to what he's calling you to do, yes, it's not going to be easy all the time, but can I tell you, it's like food from heaven. It's like meat. It's going to nourish your soul. It's going to bless your heart. It's going to give you fuel to keep going. Come on, we've all been there when we shared faith with somebody that doesn't know Jesus, and all of a sudden you feel like a superhero for God, or you've walked across the room and God's given you a prophetic word for somebody and you've been really, really scared, but you stepped out there, and as you did, the anointing comes upon you and it feels like you're getting fresh meat from heaven. It fuels you up. That's how we're supposed to live. That's how we're supposed to live, with the fuel tank full, not depleted, not empty. And sometimes it's just as simple as realizing where your fuel tank is and being deliberate to shift. Being deliberate to shift. To go, hold on, I'm wasting too much time. I'm doing too much with this person, and all it's doing is draining me and stealing the joy and the passion and the call of God that God has for me. Recently, I came to this realization that Jesus was picky with who he ministered to. I have never seen that. No, we're supposed to be a servant to everybody. We are. But you know, Jesus was a servant to everybody, but he was also very picky with who he chose to minister to. For example, time and time again, he had opportunity to minister to religious leaders, and he didn't. He would stay quiet. Why? Because he saw their hearts, and he goes, I'm not wasting my effort and time to argue with you over something because your heart is hard. Right? There's another time that he was limited, and when he went to his hometown, and we heard that before, you know, he didn't minister as much as he could have ministered. Why? Because he could see their heart was not in it. Their heart wasn't hungry for it. And so the ministry was limited. He didn't waste his time. He stewarded his gift. He stewarded his time. He stewarded his wisdom. And I'm here to encourage every pastor and leader, it's time to wake up and see what have you been consuming yourself with, and start to realize, are you consuming yourself and with wasting your time and your ministry? God is challenging us to make space, to make room. In John chapter 5, verse 2 to 3 and 5 to 6, we have this story. I'll read it to you. He says, now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he picked him. There's lots of people. Jesus heard about his situation. He picked him. One person out of multitudes. There was lots of people there. No one else was recorded to have been healed that day. One. But even once he picked him, he didn't just go and heal him. Could he? Yes, he could. At any time, he could have said, you get up, walk, healed in Jesus' name. Amen. In my name. You know, he didn't say that, right? Here's what he does. He goes up to this person and he asks them, do you want, come on, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Not do you believe I can make you well? It's not a question of faith. Do you believe Messiah can heal you? That's not a question of theology. It's about you. Do you want ministry? Do you want to grow? Do you want your marriage to be healed? Do you want to see your future change? Do you want to? Because if you don't, I'm not going to invest myself into this. If you say no, God bless you. We love you. See you later. I'm picking somebody that wants to be healed today. I'm looking for somebody that wants to be restored. Now, I'm talking to pastors, and a lot of you have a mercy gift, and you're offended maybe in your heart that I would even speak like this. But can I just encourage you? You've got to steward the grace of God on you. You've got to steward your soul. You've got to steward the passion of God in you. You've got to steward this. So you've got to be careful. Sometimes we are more invested in seeing somebody healed than they are. It may sound like Jesus is being highly insensitive. Come on, Jesus, 38 years a cripple, and you go to him, do you want to get well? Of course he wants to get well. No, that's not true. That's not true. Because to be a cripple had some benefits back then. That it was actually a source of income. You got all the pity. You got all the attention. You got the good spots, good car park. I don't know. They didn't have car parks back then. But, you know, they had some privileges. They had some privileges. And sometimes people will go, you know what? I'm coming to you with my problems, but I just want to talk about it. I just want you to feel pity for me. I just want you to feel sorry for me. I just need some pastoral care. But can I ask you to ask them, do you want to get healed? Can you imagine if we started every pastoral meeting with, do you want to get healed? Every connect group, do you want to grow? No? See you later. Grab some coffee on the way out. God bless you. Oh, you don't understand. My marriage is a mess. Do you want to fix it? Do you want to? Here's Marriage Summit. Turn up. No, I just can't. I just can't make the time. Pastor Joel, can you pray for me? Because I can't come to the prayer meeting tonight because Survivor's got its final. Pray for yourself. Can I just be honest with you? If you don't want to get well, why am I carrying your burden? But if you want to get well, come on, if you want to see a miracle, if you want to be restored, if you want to be healed, if you want to see growth, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here to champion you. I'm here to cry with you. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to encourage you. You can call me in the middle of the night. Actually, call Peter Hammer in the middle of the night. Somebody cares. It's Peter Hammer, he's very compassionate. Is that okay? Can we just be a little bit honest? And sometimes the issue is actually you need to be needed. And if you need to be needed, that's a real problem because now it's about you and you need healing just as much as they need healing. The truth is if you want to see someone healed, they're going to have to be a part of it. And so Jesus was really particular about who he ministered to. It wasn't just everybody. He bypassed so many of the crowd. He bypassed so many crippled and lame and blind people. He literally walked straight past them, found one, and said, I think you actually want to be healed. Do you want to be healed? And if that person said no, I don't think Jesus would have done anything. I'm fine, thanks. I actually like this spot that I have here. Okay. When you're ready to get healed, come back to me. When you're ready to get healed, when you're ready to work on some stuff, we'll be here. It's like the father of the prodigal son. When you're ready to come home, I'm ready to give you a new outfit, new sandals, new ring. I'm ready to bring you back in. But I'm actually not leaving the house to go for you. You've got to actually come to your senses. And you actually need to steward your own life. Why? Because your spirit is your responsibility. Pastor Brian said that brilliantly. Your spirit is your responsibility. It's not mine, right? And so we've got to start partnering with people that actually want to receive the ministry that God has graciously poured into your life. And if you're constantly trying to convince the critic, trying to convince the unteachable, trying to convince the ones that have already decided, they've already gone to 7 churches before you, they're only there for another 3 months. And if you fill your calendar and you fill your focus and you filled your mind with all these people just trying to look after these mature Christians that are not acting very maturely and they don't really want your help but you're bending over backwards, you forget the will of God for your life. So what is the will of God for your life? Because Jesus went on in John chapter 4, verse 35, the very next verse. He says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. Don't you have a saying that we're not there yet? We're 4 months away until harvest. I tell you, look at this. Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. They were there. Their eyes were open, but they were looking down at the problems, the concerns, this issue within the church. How do we rebuild after COVID? How do we get them back? They love the online so much because they can watch it at any time. Oh, you know, they don't want to come out at this time. Should we add another service? Should we do a little bit more? Maybe we should change our online. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do that. And Jesus says, stop. You're focusing too much on the wrong field. Leave that. open your eyes, look up, look up, look up, look up. They're ripe, they're white, they're ready. That is what I am concerned with. Look, I'm challenging you, but I'm challenging me today. So many of the ACC churches have grown compared to other movements, but we've grown from transfer growth. And when we break up another level, we went from 50 to 80, we went from 80 to 200, 200 to 10,000, I don't know. We clap ourselves on the back and we go, yes, look at the seats full. We're going to add another service. Fantastic. Of course, we value people. But when you look up, has anyone been harvested? Has anyone been harvested? Has anyone been saved? Has anyone who's crying out to God? Is anyone in your community that is tormented and are crying out and unreached and desperate and they're crying, God, help us? Is anyone being saved? No, but they came. I love the fact that I'm in the Bible Belt. I've got Christy and Yui down the road in Oasis. We've got Nations, Ken and Chrissy, who are sitting separately. They're not fighting. We've got them down the road. We've got Red Door down the road. And literally, people come in groups. We're doing a church tour. We love the service. God moves so much, but we're not committing. No, we're not. We're going to continue the tour. We won't be here next week because we're off to Nations. And they're so proud that we don't want to plant anywhere. We just want to keep moving. And I go, oh, how do we keep them? Maybe I should take them out for a coffee. Maybe I should say something on their social media. Oh, it was so good to see you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Maybe I should prophesy on them. No, I'm just joking. I'm not. You would never do that, right? Maybe I should promote them. Maybe I should promote them. I'll make you a leader. We can stop this church tour right now. We are looking for this. Come on, we'll put you on staff. We don't know you, but that's okay. Can I just tell you, we're looking down. We're looking wrongly. We're looking at the wrong field. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is white. And God's saying, would somebody, would one church, would one pastor, would one leader full of my spirit just for one moment stop looking at what they already have and how they're going to keep it and start looking at the people that I am moving on and breathing on and touching and speaking to. Somebody, would somebody look up? You know, they say that during COVID, while the churches emptied, God was moving on the hearts of the people in our communities. They say, Google says that people have been questioning their spirituality. And the question, is God real, has risen by over 30% during COVID. They did another survey of people that don't go to church and said, did you pray during COVID? And over 30% of people started to pray to a God they don't know in COVID during that time, going, hey, I don't know what is going on here, but everything is shaking. Everything is changing. I don't know. God, if you are real, give me a sign. And the sign is sitting right here. The sign is sitting in this room. God has been preparing the hearts. He was working behind the scenes when we were wondering, oh gosh, we've lost another musician. We've lost another children's worker. Our money's dropped down a little bit. The tides are going down a little bit. We've started worrying about that, but God was moving even through then. He was getting the hearts of the people ready. The harvest has his attention. Does it have yours? Does it have yours? And as I said, listen, I'm challenging yourself, but I'm also challenging me because God's been speaking to me this next season. I sense a shift. I sense a shift. I sense a shift in the ACC, and I'm going to prophesy over you that this is a season for a great harvest. And I'm not just talking about people that come from other churches or maybe more conservative churches that, you know, left this church to come here. I'm talking about unchurched. I'm talking about from the community. I'm talking about Muslim people. I'm talking about Buddhist people. I'm talking about people who have come from generations where they have not been in the church. I prophesy that. I prophesy that as the musicians come up and join me and help me. Here's a question for your next leadership gathering. Here's the question for your next staff meeting. Here's a gathering for your next key question for your next key leaders gathering. Here's the question. How are we going to win the lost? If this is not even a question that you've asked recently, we need to shift our attention. It's not how we're going to get more volunteers. How are we going to get them back? How are we going to get more deacons and more musicians? How are we going to bring that couple that, you know, they sort of came, you know, the one that came from that church? No, not that one. The other one that came from the other church. How do we get them back in the room? And we forget to ask this question. How are we going to win the lost? How are we going to win the lost? How are we going to reach out to a community that is broken and needing Jesus? How are we going to do that? How is our church going to go to highways and the byways and compel them to come? How are we going to do that? How are we, pastors, going to train our disciples to share their faith, to share their testimony? We teach them how to do prophetic worship. We teach them how to intercede, all good, all needed. But how are they going to share their faith? Have we taught them how to share their testimony? How are we going to run our services so that the unchurched and new people feel more at home, feel welcomed at home? What are we going to do through our church to make an impact in the community? I want to ask you, if your church closed down this week, would anyone in the community even know? Are you doing anything in the community that people will go, wow? I don't know where that church has gone, but I tell you what, they ran a great playgroup. It was a safe place. We had a playgroup meeting on Thursday, first time I'm going to playgroup. 32 families and 27 unchurched of the 32. And so I'm sitting down with this lady and just talking to her, and she said to me, I'm not a churchy, but if I was to go to a church, this would be the church I go to. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. She goes, but I'm not, so I'm not coming. Okay, cool. No worries. Mother's Day is coming. Hey, you got to come to Mother's Day. We got to get. No, I'm not coming. Okay, cool. But when you need and when you're ready and when you need God, I know where you'll go. I pray it'll be here. Do you know what I'm saying? We've got to start having these conversations again. We can't just rejoice over the fact that our church is growing at the expense of the church down the road. Oh, that church had a split. Yay. People will be looking for a new church to go to. Can I just be honest with you? Can I just be really honest with you? My heart is gripped for the lost again. You know, every time you choose to look up and focus on the harvest, you got to get ready for some distractions. So as you determine, because salvation comes from the Lord, you can't do anything to save a soul. But all you have to do is shift your attention. Shift your attention. Just look up and you'll start seeing. God will start giving you strategy. God will start giving you dreams and ideas. And just because you're looking for it, God will be able to trust you. And it'll start to grow. And as you start putting in processes and you start doing programs and as you start being led by God to again be a force, to be light in darkness, salt in the earth, you're going to see God do something miraculous in your church. We did a Easter bunny trail, last story. Easter bunny trail in our community. I didn't even know what it was, but apparently you go into a local park and you tell people and you go from place to place and you give out Easter bunny eggs and chocolates. And you know, when you start to determine we're going to do something in the community, you'll get all these distractions. Got all these emails, all these Facebook comments from Christians. You disgust me. That's nice. How are you, brother? You disgust me. You know, you are preaching the fertility god of Ishtar, and I don't know what else they were saying. Like, wow, if only you knew the scriptures as much as you knew your history. And you know, the Easter egg is fertility, and you should be ashamed of yourself because the church should preach the gospel. And I'm like, mate, you've just missed it. Instead of getting onto my phone and typing with two fingers angrily, just let that go. Let Pastor Pete deal with it. Just let it go. Let it go, because you've missed the point. Can I tell you, because of we did that on Easter weekend, we had 50 people from the community come into the church that were unchurched. I'm not talking about Christians that come Christmas, Easter and get their card stamped. You know what I mean? I'm talking about unchurched. Walking in through the door, 18 people made a decision for Christ. And that's just because we decided to focus. Focus our eyes. Focus our heart on what moves. And would you stand in this place? We're going to sing this beautiful song called New Wine. But I believe God's wanting to break new ground today. Come on, if you are desperate for God to do something fresh in that area, in your church, in your leadership team, in your youth ministry, maybe you haven't seen a soul for a while, that's okay. Hey, listen, I'm here to tell you that God wants to do something new in your church. You can't manufacture it in your own strength. You just need to say, Father, help me. Help my church to be what you've called it to be. Father God, break it. Change it, new season, new wine. Lord God, we want to see this community saved. Lord God, we don't want our churches just to grow from transfer. But Lord God, we want to see the lost saved. We want to see the bound delivered. We want to see, Lord God, the unreached reached. We want our church to make a difference. We want our lives to make a difference. Lord, I pray. This is what I saw. I saw us doing a prophetic act this morning, where many of us have things that we're dealing with in our churches. They're real things. Concerns, issues, church running, leadership stuff that have consumed us. It's right here in your hand. I want you to deliberately, prophetically lay it at His feet. It's consumed your time, your energy, and taken your strength too long. You talk about it. You think about it. It steals your sleep. It's taken your passion. How am I going to deal with this? What am I going to do with that? How am I going to bring that person? Today, God says, come on, lay it down at the altar. Lay it down at the altar. Come on, lay it down at the altar. It's real. I see it. I know it's real. I'm not minimizing what you have to do as a leader, but I want you to lay it down at the altar. I want you to surrender it. I want you to stop letting it steal your focus and steal your concentration. I want you to give what you can to the Lord. Do what you have to do, but give the impossible to Him right now. It's His. Father, we do right now. We surrender that thing. We surrender those conflicts. We surrender those things. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Just begin to hand it over to Him. Come on, just begin to hand it over to Him. Father God, we surrender that. We bring that issue. We bring that conflict, Lord. We bring that financial problem, that building problem, Lord God, and we bring it down to the altar right now. And we say, Lord, you are able. You are able. You are the Lord of this church. Lord God, those things that have stolen my peace, those things that have stolen my confidence, those things that have stolen my vision, that have stolen my strength today, Father God, I bring it to the altar and I lay it here and I say, no more, God. Father, I lay it at your feet. Father, have your way. You do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus. And now I want you to do something prophetic. I want you to lift your head and spiritually open your eyes to where God has called you, to the harvest field He's placed you in, to the local community that you have been planted, not by accident. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look to the north. Look to the south. Everywhere your foot treads,
I have given you the land. I've given you its people. I've given you its kings. I've given them to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, right now, just begin to breathe a fresh soul-winning anointing. Soul-winning anointing, soul-winning anointing. Lord God, even from this week, things are starting to change. I break off complacency. I break off religion. I break off those things that have limited us right now. Come on, just begin to ask for the harvest. Lord of the harvest, send harvesters. Lord of the harvest, make me a harvester. Lord of the harvest, pour out your spirit afresh. Lord God, show us new ways to do it. Father, give us your ways. Give us the people. Father, show us how to reach them. Show us what processes to put into place. Father God, this is your church. Show us what we need to close and show us what we need to open. Show us what we need to cut off and show us what we need to give birth to. Right now, a soul-winning anointing to breathe over the ACC. I declare it's harvest time. I declare it's a season of harvest. I declare the harvest is ripe. I declare, Father God, even this week, Lord God, our youth ministries, our children's ministries, our families, Lord God, our outreaches, our connect groups, Lord God, even our services, Lord God, will be full of a fresh salvation anointing, oh God. People coming in and hearts melting in the presence of God. Father, courage, boldness to be carriers of the gospel of Jesus. That there would be a revival in the ACC. That we won't focus on church growth because of numbers. We'd be focusing on church growth because of new babies being born into the kingdom of God. New salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
The lost being saved.
I know you're sitting next to people that you love.
Thank you, God. Here's what I would love you to do. I'd love you to stretch your hands out toward the north. I don't know where the north is. Is that that way? That way. That way. Come on, would you stretch your hands out to the north? And when you don't know what to pray, just pray in the Spirit. Amen? Come on, would you just begin to pray for a mighty revival to break out over the north of this state? From the very top, from the very top, from the very top, let the rain of heaven fall where there has been wilderness and dryness and desert, where there's been death. We declare life. We declare fresh salvation rain. We declare mercy drops from heaven. We declare churches coming into revival. We declare a revival amongst the churches in the north. Father God, we call them in. 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 We call them in now, Father God. Lord, let souls come into the house. Thank you, God. Let's turn to the east right now. Father God, to the churches in the east, Father God, we ask, Lord God, for a mighty harvest. We declare they are ripe. We declare they are ready for harvest. Lord God, I pray the churches and the believers will arise in this season to be a harvester of souls. Lord, we pray for every church in the east, oh God, that this would be the great Southland, the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, there would be a revival, Father God, touching our East Coast, Lord, touching other states and also within our state. Come on, let's turn to the South right now. I want you to pray in the Spirit. Come on, I want you to pray that there would be breakthrough, 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 that the land will be broken. Lord God, the hardness of the land would be broken. The hardness of hearts would be softened. Lord God, that you would begin to melt the hearts like wax in the presence of God. Let there be a revival that goes all the way down south to Albany. Let it go all the way down south through Bunbury and Busselton. Lord God, Augusta. Lord God, Dunsborough. Lord God, revive this state. Let it flow. Let it mercy flow in the name of Jesus. And come on, let's face west.
Father God, we claim all the churches in the West, Father God. We claim every one of them to come into a place of rebirth and revival. Souls, souls, souls. We declare the whole state of Western Australia, harvest zone, ready for revival. Come on, let's sing.